We're going to mainly be in John chapter 10 this morning. So if you want to turn there, John chapter 10. Been going through this series of focusing on Jesus's declarations, Jesus's statements, and then he has validation of those things in what he has told us and what he has shared in the Word of God. In John chapter 4, verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." He was declaring who he was, what he had done, why he had come. John chapter 6, verse 41, it says, "Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down of heaven.'" Now listen to what they were thinking. You could tell they weren't all on the same page. Verse 42 says this, "They were saying, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I come down out of heaven'?" John chapter 8, verse 57 says, "So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am.'" Man, talk about a shocker for them. It says, "Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had put him out. This was the man that he had, caked his eyes with mud and then said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So Jesus heard that they had put him out, this man that had been healed because he was blind. And finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And his answer was, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." Man, can you imagine what that moment must have been like as Jesus made those declarations? Today, when we start in chapter 10, we're going to talk about Jesus as he shares that he is the door of the sheep gate. And also as Jesus talks about that he is a good shepherd. So let's read here these first six verses of chapter 10, verses 1 through 6 is what we'll start out with. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts all his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. However, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus told them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what the things which he was saying to them meant. Now, as Jesus tells this parable or this illustration of him being the good shepherd, him being the shepherd of the sheep, there's a lot of things that we don't always understand because we don't live in a culture, at least there's not a whole bunch of sheep herders around here. So Jesus, when he was talking to them, if they were listening the right way, they would acknowledge that, yes, I understand. Because in that day, they would, they might be going through a town and they would collect all the sheep that were traveling during that time. And they didn't put them in individual pens based upon the shepherd. They would put them all in the same pen. So it gives you a little bit more picture of what's going on. The illustration that he uses here when he says that the doorkeeper or the gatekeeper is going to open the door to the rightful shepherd. He's not going to just open it to anybody. He is going to open it for that shepherd. And the other thing that's interesting here is when Jesus said in verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep listen to his voice. The sheep had come to a place to where they knew what the shepherd sounds like. And they would respond to that sound. Or maybe it was a song that he sang. Something to identify his sheep. That they would know that it was him, and they needed to get themselves out of the pen, outside, and they would follow him, as it says there. He says, when he puts all his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, if you and I were sitting there, we may be like these people, wondering what in the world is Jesus saying. But we have a lot of extended information that helps us to understand this. And the thought is, just like the sheep heard the shepherd and followed his voice, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, should recognize the voice of God. God, whether he's speaking through Jesus, his Son, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. We ought to recognize that it is him who is that we need to follow and that we need to live by. So, in this part of the story, Jesus is telling us that our eternal life is secure not because we do good works, but because we know who the shepherd is. We're in the right place. So our eternal life is going to be secured by not the quality of our work or our labor, but it's going to be secured by the quality of what Jesus Christ came here to do. He's going to talk a little bit later about the fact that God the Father sent him for this specific purpose. And so you and I can be secure in our salvation, confident of the gift of eternal life, because we know him, because we know Jesus, because he is the only door that we are going to enter through. And when we go to our heavenly home, he is the only door that we will exit through. So Jesus is making reference to knowing which door to go out of. And he calls himself, or he says, I am the door. I am the way that these things happen. You know, I was looking at a map. There's many different ways that you can go places, but there's only one fast way, the fastest way, from Dallas to Houston. What do you think it is? I-45. That's exactly right. So you and I can say, oh, well, I'm going to get to Houston some other way, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. But really, if you want to go to Houston, you're going to have to go I-45, because it's a straight shot. It's a straight shot, and that way is 3 hours and 16 minutes. If you take a small turn, 3 hours and 41 minutes. But the fastest way, the best way, is down I-45. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to Jesus. He is saying that I am the way. You know, he said that later when he was talking to his disciples. How are we going to know where you are? And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to experience everything that God has for you, it starts with hearing his voice, knowing that it's him guiding you and leading you in that direction. So when we pause, look at our own life, the only way that our eternal life is secure is because it is through Jesus, through his work. The second thing that he mentions here is because Jesus died to give eternal life, that's why our eternal life is secure. He died to give us eternal life. We didn't die. Somebody else didn't die for us. But we died because of what he has done. And his death, notice what he says starting in verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, what? Lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus has laid down his life for the world. I mean, that's what the scriptures teach us. Jesus died that anyone in the world who responds to him will receive the blessing of eternal life. Jesus came and gave that. Look what it says in verse 17. It says, for this reason the Father loves me, because what did he do? I lay down my life so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it back. That's what the Father has given to him to do. And he has done it on our behalf. The key to receiving it is us accepting that. Not us working for it, not us trying harder to be good, but to receive that blessing of eternal life that Jesus Christ came to give us. He said in verse 28, look there, you may have to turn your page. Verse 28, he says, I give them eternal life. And I give them, this is what it says in this verse, and I give them eternal life and they will sometimes perish? No. It says they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Again, this is a message that was spoken to these people who had a lot of questions about who Jesus was and what Jesus came to do. And he was giving them this message. When he says there in verse 28, they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. It uses a double negative in the Greek, which we don't really have that in English. But it's as if the person was saying, this will never happen. Just like he said there. He said that they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, for us today, where we live, that's a great promise. That's a promise that no matter what we have done, no matter what we're going to do, or no matter what we do in the future, if we are a follower of Jesus Christ, there is no way that we are going to perish without him. There is no way that with Jesus we are going to experience everything that God has planned and purposed for us. Just like he says there, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That is a promise to us. You know, a lot of times when we think about death, we think, oh man, I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. But with Jesus, you and I are not going to die. We are going to go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So you and I get to experience the blessing of eternal life, not just for time, but forever. You and I are going to experience that. So Jesus is the one who makes our eternal life secure by his death. And you and I live out or experience that eternal life by what we do. Are we followers of his? Are we living out the life that he has planned for us? The third reason why eternal life is secure is because the Father secures the gift of eternal life. Notice what he says there in verse 29, my Father, who has given them to me? Who is the them that he's talking about right there? Well, it's the majority of us. I don't know if there's a Jewish person in here, but really Jesus was talking about the Gentiles. If you do a little bit of research, you're going to discover that Jesus was talking about the Gentiles. He has other people besides just the Jewish people. He is talking about the whole world. And he has died for the whole world so that the whole world could experience the gift of eternal life that God made possible through Jesus. So he mentions that as an affirmation to us and as a promise, because the Father secures the gift of eternal life. Now, you and I have the doctrine of eternal security, which basically a lot of it is founded on this verse, but it's founded on other verses in the scripture. This verse just happens to be one with great clarity and with great focus. He says here in this passage toward the end of it, verse 30, I and the Father are one. What Jesus has come to do, the Father is supporting him in that. And as Jesus has talked about, no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. He says there in verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. When you and I make our decision to follow Christ, when you and I choose to receive Him, we are given the gift that God has for us of eternal life. And it's in that eternal life that you and I, we excel in spiritual growth. If we are trying to earn our way to heaven, you know, like the world does a lot of times or talks about doing, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Well, this passage of Scripture says, no, it's not a hope, it's a confident reality. And Jesus was trying to say to them, and he's seeking to say to us, this is not something that you have to doubt or question or wonder how it's going to happen. It's only through the work of Jesus that you and I can experience eternal life. And we can experience eternal life. How long is that? Long time. You and I are going to be living in that eternal state with Him forever. You know, he says here, no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You know, you think back on your life. Think of the things that you have done. Think of the things that you know God is not pleased and honored with. Think back to the times when you felt as if even the evil one was trying to steer you in the wrong direction. Does the evil one have power enough to snatch you? According to the Word of God, Jesus' testimony, nope. He's never going to do it. That person that you might be at odds with, they're not going to snatch you from the Father's hand. Why? Because He is able. He is able. keep us in Him. And in Him, we have eternal life. When Jesus said, "I and the Father are one," it says there, after He said it, verse 31, look at it. The Jews picked up stones again to stone Him. Why were they feeling like that when Jesus said, "I and the Father are one"? Well, it's like some of the verses we started with. Well, how in the world can that happen when Jesus is the son of Mary and Joseph? How in the world can that happen when Jesus is a man? How can He say that before Abraham was, I am? Because Jesus is God. Jesus has been sent from God for our benefit. He came in the flesh to open the door, to remove the veil, and to allow us to go into the Holy of Holies. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. Because of what Jesus has done, you and I can come with boldness to the throne of God. We couldn't do that in our own strength. We couldn't buy a place there where we were taken care of. That is only possible because of what Jesus has done. And because He came in the flesh and lived among us, He purchased for us an eternal life that we can have when we follow Him, when we trust Him, when we believe in Him, when we allow Him to guide our life. So next time you're thinking about this idea of eternal life, why is it that our eternal life is secure? Well, it's secure because Jesus is the only door for eternal life. You know, you hear all the time, there's many different ways to get to God. But Jesus clearly says, there's only one way. And it's through Me, through Jesus, that you and I can experience eternal life. And we can enter into the throne room. Jesus, when He spoke to these individuals, He talked about His death. His death on the cross was to give eternal life to those who trust in Him. And then He said, you can know you have eternal life because your eternal life is secured by the Father Himself. And the Father Himself is greater than all others. No one can take us out of His hand. Let's pray together.